Welcome to the Victory of the Lamb podcast. We are a simple, straightforward Bible-teaching church located in Katy, Texas. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to stop by anytime. Otherwise, we hope you use this podcast to grow in your faith and be confident in sharing that faith with many. You can find us online at votl.org. We hope you enjoy this message. God bless your week. What's your most precious possession? A victory? A souvenir from a special vacation? Maybe, maybe not. A spouse? A child? A parent? A friend? I don't know if it'd be true all the time, but I bet many times you could find out what is someone's most precious possession by looking at the wallpaper or screensaver on their phone or laptop. Or if you have one that shuffles, then you might have 30 or 40 most special possessions that rotate out. Have you ever wondered, what does God have as his wallpaper on his phone? Or his screensaver on his computer? Of course, he doesn't have a phone or a computer, but what if he did? What would be on there? What picture would be there? What if he put pictures on his fridge? What if he put pictures on his wall? What would it be? What's his most precious possession? God's word clearly announces to you and me today that God's most precious possession is you. You are in his wallpaper, his screensaver, the picture on his fridge, the thing that gets him out of bed in the morning with a smile on his face. What wonderful gifts we have from God himself, who calls us that because of his own work and effort. Let's get into the scripture verses for today from Isaiah 43, and I think you'll see what I mean as you see these Bible verses just dripping with love from a father's tender heart. How special, precious, and personal these words are from God to you. Note that before I read the verses, every single time the word you comes up, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, there in the first verse is the first couple instances. The word you is a singular, meaning in our English way of talking, I could be talking to you, all of you here today, or I could be talking to you personally, one at a time. And the word you in English means either one. I think you should all know that this one here, it's like a one-on-one conversation between God and you. And yet also, of course, it'd be true that it's all of us because we're all Christians under his care. But as I read the verses, think about that. What does God say to me personally? If God has a one-on-one conversation with me, what would he say to me? Here goes. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You see what I mean about the personal one-on-one talk? A dozen times the word I comes up, another five or six, my or mine. The Lord personally comes from heaven to give an announcement to you. And it's not just a suggestion when he says, fear not. Here's why. The Lord says, I have redeemed you. I sent my son on a holy mission. He finished his work, paid for every single last one of your sins, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, with his innocent, he didn't deserve it, suffering and death. He finished it though, even though he didn't deserve it. The Lord has redeemed us and summoned us by name. You belong to him. And as I mentioned to the kids in the children's message a few minutes ago, we can't help but think of baptism when we think about how the Lord has summoned you by name and that you belong to him. Another Bible verse is, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, because all of you who have been baptized into Christ are clothed with Christ. When we are baptized, we are wearing Christ's clothes. We are sons of God, people in his family, people belonging to him. Could God get any more personal than this? Really, what could he do? How could he possibly get more personal to comfort us, to bolster us, to protect us, to say he cares, to assure us that not only is he a factor, he is the only factor that matters. Do you believe him? Do you trust him? Can we move forward through life with its ups and downs, without fear, and with peace? And as you're mulling that over, I'll bet you could say, yeah, sometimes. But other times, not so much. That fear gets the best of me. The reason fear sometimes gets the best of us is because even though we love Jesus and have a part of us that trusts him with all our heart, we also have a part of us that doubts what he says and actually believes lies. Even though God tells us, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. I love you. You're precious and honored in my sight. We believe lies that are 100% the opposite. When we believe those lies, what does life look like? It looks like a world full of people who are out to get us. And God seems asleep. And he seems like he's not a factor, so I have to fix it, and I don't have any idea how I'm going to do that. What's more, as we're looking skeptically at everyone in the world, because the world is full of people who are out to get us, when some of them do get us and stab us, we hold grudges and do whatever we can to make sure they don't get us again. What a poisoned outlook. Bitter towards people out there, bitter towards God, assuming the pressure of control that I've got to fix this, I've got to figure this out, I've got to make it through this life on my own because no one else will help. And yet deep down, I also am bitter when I think about myself. Because someone who has that kind of attitude, isolated from God, believing lies about him that aren't true, will ultimately conclude, I've squandered years of my life and I can't go back and do it over. I've broken a lot with my sinfulness and I can't go back and fix it. I'm facing this life which feels like a flooded river and I see things getting swept downstream. It's really scary. I can't cross it and yet I gotta go in there, I guess. Only to my doom. Or life looks like this fiery field, this dangerous place, and I've got to walk across it. It's going to hurt. I don't know how I'm going to make it, But I've got no other choice. What a dreadful outlook life is when God is not a factor, when you believe lies about Him, that He's either powerless, incapable, unloving, doesn't care. Asleep, not paying attention, leaving us to deal with life all by ourselves, abandoned like an orphan on the sidewalk. Don't believe lies. Don't let Satan convince you that any of that is true about God. Because it's not. Isaiah 43 verses 1 to 7 is just one of many, many, many scriptures, a whole Bible full of them, that would lead us to conclude the truth, something far different. As the Lord assures us, He created us and formed us for His glory. He has redeemed you in full. He has summoned you by name, others too, but also you, not just other people. You are His and nobody else's. You are precious to Him. You are honored in His eyes. You are valuable for eternity. And He would rather give up His only Son to a cross death than give up you for thousands and thousands of years in hell. Yes, that is what motivated God the Father, because of His deep love and concern for you, to send Jesus to the cross. And that is what motivated Jesus to glorify His Father by following through with it. If you are ever tempted to believe, God doesn't care about me, God is asleep, just look at the cross. Because there we have proof of the absolute opposite. Our God is not a do-nothing God. Instead, He is a do-everything God. Because He loves us. Because He paid for our sins with His own blood. Because He rose from the dead and assures us, because I live, you also will live. And He wants us to look forward to that all the days of our life. So instead of life looking a whole lot like a flood of disappointment and despair that we have to navigate our way through alone, full of fear, instead life is a flood of forgiveness that we get to navigate our way through with God's help, trusting Him more and more as the days go by, with a heart full of peace and joy and excitement to see what God's going to do next. You see, our Lord has a long track record of delivering sinners from all kinds of impossible situations. The verses here from Isaiah 43 mentioned flooded rivers and waters, or fires that are scary. You think of the Red Sea, when the Lord parted the waters and the people walked across on dry ground. And then their enemy was drowned behind them, the Egyptians. You think of the three men in the fiery furnace, when the fires were so hot, ordered by King Nebuchadnezzar, that the soldiers who threw the three men into the furnace died, but not those three men. There's so many more examples throughout the Bible of the Lord delivering people from evil and difficulty. And that's why the word "through" is such a powerful word. Let's dial into verse 2 for a minute. After the Lord tells us, "Do not fear, I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine," He tells us, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." I'm going to make sure that is how it goes down. "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Notice it's not if you encounter a river that's flooded or a fire that is hot. It's when. We can't get through life unscathed. But when we pass through the rivers and the waters, when we walk through the fires, It's through. We don't get stuck in the middle. We aren't abandoned halfway down. We make it through because that's what the Lord says in His eternal word. He assures us that He has redeemed us, summoned us by name, we belong to Him, and so therefore, it's always going to be true. One of two results will happen no matter what kind of flooded river you're facing, no matter what kind of fire in your life is raising the pressure and the heat, making things difficult and inconvenient. One of two things will always happen. Either the Lord will deliver you in His time from that difficulty, or the ultimate difficulty will happen. You'll stop breathing and your earthly life will end. And then He delivers you by taking you home to heaven. You have that promise from a holy God who says, "You are precious to me." We're formed, created to serve Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to trust Him. Douse the lies of Satan that would teach you the exact opposite, because that's just what they are, lies from the pit of hell. And as you think about things in life being inconvenient, I would call parking in a lake a minor inconvenience. Or parking across the street as some of you did, or not having as much parking as usual, or whatever inconvenience of today you want to bring up. I just brought up a couple from the service. There's maybe more inconveniences going on in your life. Or it's easy to come up with 20, 30, 50, 100. We have peace that drives, and we're going through the inconvenient time with a flood of forgiveness always around us. That's why we are expanding our ministry. That's what we want to teach preschoolers and their families, so that they deal with life, because they are going to be going through flooded rivers, waters, and fires too, aren't they? We want them to have the peace that we have in Christ. We want them to have the confidence that the Lord is with them and loves them and died for all their sins and rose from the dead to give them eternal life too. We want them to know that so that they don't have to be full of fear as they try to navigate their way through the difficulties of life. So that they don't have to be overwhelmed with loneliness, thinking that God's not a factor and I'm not on His side. We want to help as many people as possible not think that way, and instead think along the lines of Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, as we are this morning. So God be with you as you grow in your personal relationship with Him. God be with you as you listen to Him and trust Him when He says, "I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." Other people, yes, also, because Christ died for the sins of the world, but also you. I am someone that calls you precious. You are mine. God give you the strength to stare at any and every flooded river and fiery field with that deeply embedded in your heart, knowing you will always make it through. Amen. We know your time is precious. Thank you so much for investing some of your time with us today. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you be so kind as to click to follow our show and give us a 5-star rating? That's a quick and easy way to help us get the message of truth out to more people. Thank you so much. God bless your day in Christ.